Have you ever wondered why mean girls actually wear pink? Do you have a Zoom date coming up and want to know how to dress 00 sexy like the Bond girls on screen? Or are you wanting to nail that stylish superhero off-duty look? Have no fear, Cinema's Anna Wintour is here. Hi, I'm your host, Andrea Agbar, and you're listening to The Real Fashion Podcast, where we unearth the most iconic fashion moments in film and television history. This week's episode, we blur the lines between fiction and real life as we discuss Netflix's The Crown Season 4. We will be talking exclusively about the Princess of Wales, Lady Diana Spencer. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, how can I just jump to Season 4 without revealing the fashion of other women royals like the Queen herself or her sister Margaret and daughter Princess Anne? Well, to be frank, there hasn't ever been such a fashion icon to come into and then out of the royal family in modern British history than Diana. To help us explore the forever young wardrobe of Princess Diana is Simeon Nora, an artist and filmmaker from Chelsea College of Art, part of the University of Arts London.
Hi. Nice to see you happy here.
Oh my gosh, how are you?
I'm okay. I've just been working with my art and trying to figure out how to suddenly get out of lockdown while we've been in it for like a year. But yeah, I actually rewatched The Crown just to get into this with you today, because I picked out a few of my favorite moments fashion wise for this.
I'm loving it. What were your immediate like feelings upon watching The Crown, like season four especially?
I think I'd watch all of them keeping up to date. There hasn't really been that much of a fashion moment, I think, for The Crown. I mean, their accuracy is amazing with, like, what they actually wear. I think especially when we get, Jackie Kennedy comes in, and it's like, that dress was just, like, amazing. Mm-hmm. I think Princess Margaret has a few fashion moments herself where you're like, I wish they were still making this clothes because I would wear it. Like some of her choices outfit. But I think we're all waiting for Diana to show us, like, to show us fashion in a sense, to show us, like, the outfit she wore. And I have to say, they didn't really disappoint. There are a few things with, like, her hair. I hate the way they did her hair in The Crown. Like, I'm just not a fan of it. Like, I'm not a fan of her hair, but I love the choice, the outfit choices, the youth that she brings as well to such an older cast. I think she's quite like beautiful in the way she dresses, the way she is, the colors she wear. I mean, that yellow jumpsuit that we see her in is amazing. It's so like amazing. I remember reading about why they chose that yellow jumpsuit, because I think she had a yellow era where she would wear yellow throughout. I think this was pre-Charles, where she would just wear yellow on top of yellow, which is so nice. I love that. I love the like floral print. I love the like Peter Pan collar that she always wear. It's just like amazing, I think.
It's really interesting to look at how the Crown's costume designer, Amy Roberts, uses clothes to tell Diana's story, or at least like her, I don't know, like her coming of age story. So yeah, like into the royal family. It's really interesting, and obviously we know that like the majority of what we see on screen derives from like what happened in real life, but I just think in a fictional sense it's really interesting.
I think she was like one of the most photographed people in the world anyway. I think the inaccuracy would be noticeable. I think like you can get away with like what the Queen wears because I think that's fine, but I think with Diana, she was such an icon to, I mean, we weren't even alive when she was, like, she passed away. Yeah. But she was such an icon to us even afterwards. I think, like, even now, sometimes I look at something and I'm like, that's something Lady Diana wore. Like, oh, my God, you know that Harry Styles wore that vest the other day with the, not the other day, like, ages ago, but he wore it and it has, like, sheeps on it.
Yeah.
And then I remember thinking, oh my God, I've seen this before. And it was like, oh, Lady Di wore that, like, with the sheeps, and it was red. And I remember, like, frankly, like, searching for one. I remember just being like, I want one as well. Well, mainly because Harry Styles, I love Harry Styles, but I was just like, I want one, like, so bad. But But yeah, I think the crown as well affects the choices that, I mean, fashion in general, what we're gonna see come out this summer, I think, with like polka dots coming back, which I think polka dots never really dies, but the Peter Pan color is, I think, quite, from The Crown and I think from other shows on Netflix, a real statement that I think is gonna come back this season, hopefully, because I really want one. I really want a Peter Pan, like Peter Pan crown collar thing. I just really want one, and it's so hard to find when they're not here. Yeah, I do love her clothes she wears. Which is your favourite, like, throughout The Crown?
I don't know if this is a cop-out, but it'd be the last thing we see her in, that black dress. Because of what it stands for, and also, we're going to go into it a bit later, but because of the historical, like, context and how, like, it was very much a who wore it better, like, moment with that dress.
I think the contrast between, can I say her name? Camilla Parker Bowles, like, the new dresses, the way Camilla Parker Bowles dresses and then the way Princess Diana dresses is, like, so different and then kind of, like, shows you a lot as well. Like, I think it tells you a lot about, like, I think there's no given that we're gonna like Princess Diana, right? Like, there's not much of a debate in that, but I think it makes you like her more because of the clothes she wears. You're just like, this woman obviously had style and had class and was like amazing.
In The Crown, when she first meets Charles, she's basically dressed as a tree, right? For like a Midsummer Night's Dream play. She's in a dance costume and spandex and whatever to show her youth and all of that, right? So she looks quite innocent.
It's quite symbolic as well, her there's a lot of like foreshadowing in that. I can't help my English education coming through in this, where it's like the foreshadowing of her being a tree that will eventually be chopped down is amazing in that, right? I think her being a tree and being like this kind of, like, you've read this Midsummer Night's Dream, right, where like the trees don't really have any importance at all in Midsummer Night's Dream. I mean, they are important, but they're not really the fourth character. And I think for her to be a tree and then suddenly be in the background, I mean, he was there to see her sister, right? Like, she wasn't even supposed to be the girl that he sees, but it's like the foreshadowment of her being like this tree who will become everything and then suddenly be chopped down is like the most, I remember watching that and thinking like she was cunning in the way that her sister told her not to come down and she came down, and then just her in these like tights just like running around and like being all shy and like coy and stuff. I think that was like such a good scene to put in there. I think it's also a good scene that where we see that she is actually coming from wealth. I think that was like important that they show that, like, she wasn't just this girl out of nowhere, like she was coming from wealth, which I think, like, when people talk about Kate Middleton, for example, that there's this reluctance to say that she comes from wealth, that somehow she does understand the difficulties or the deal that comes with the royal family, which I think is important that they showed in The Crown. But
I agree. Yeah. I agree, especially if we have comparisons between, like, if we compare how the press defined Kate as a commoner and how the press also defined Diana as a commoner. Both just don't make sense in terms of definition. With Diana's, it doesn't make sense because her dad is literally an earl. Like, my dad's not an earl. Like, I don't know if your dad is, but do you know what I mean? Like, they don't give
out. I remember being at school when Kate Middleton was getting married, right? And I remember a teacher being like, oh, she's a commoner. And I remember thinking, she's not, though. She's not this girl from Tottenham who he saw out and was suddenly like, let's get married, right? Like, there is a whole difficulty with that, the whole, like, commoner. I think it's the fairy tale element, though, right? Of like, here's a common girl, here's Cinderella, and then a prince is gonna come and like change her life. I think that is like naive in a sense, and I'm glad The Crown didn't do that. The Crown did kind of way make her into like the whole like cleaning her sister's apartment and stuff. I think it's hilarious because it's just like Yeah, I think it's hilarious, but it's like so Diana at the same time, right? Like she was always like the people's princess, and it's like she cleaned apartments, so yeah, so it's fine. So it's not a bad thing, it's not a good thing, it's just something that she did, which I think is quite nice. But back to the fashion, sorry, I'm just waffling.
No, it's nice, it's all good. I really liked what you said about like the symbolism of her being a tree, though. I never thought about that. And also what you said about how the trees in Midsummer Night's Dream, they're not really like a main character, right? So they don't really have that much importance in terms of like, yeah, they're not really that integral to the entire like plot of the story. And the fact that Prince Charles, in all honesty, well, from what we see in The Crown, seems to marry her because he is aware that he just needs to marry her to sort of get his family off his back. And also, because she's not, because she's viewed in their eyes as a commoner, she's not that important to the narrative of the royal family, and how that then changes when the public fall in love with her, like, years later.
Yeah. I think we see that in The Crown, though, right? Like, I think that when she goes to Balmoral, where there is that test, which is hilarious. It's a hilarious episode, I think, when you get, like, Margaret Thatcher and failing miserably, and then having Diana kind of just uses her wit. I think that was intimidating to him, that someone could captivate the whole family, like even Anne, who Anne just isn't impressed with anyone.
Yeah.
But even Anne like was impressed by her. I think they all thought that she was this naive girl that they could control.
Yeah.
I think you get to see a little glimpse when, like, you know, when they're up shooting and it's her and Prince Philip, and Prince Philip is like, it's the left, the wind is coming from the left, and she's like, no, it's coming from the right, like, I know I'm right. I think that's the bit where they were like, they thought they could control, and I think Diana was just not, like, she wasn't someone that was going to be controlled, especially by men. I think, like, she's very, like, aware that... I think she fought for justice, which I think is something similar to what Princess Margaret wanted to do, but just couldn't. Like, I think Princess Margaret was committed and loyal to the crown and was like, this is her life.
Yeah.
I think that's obviously different from Diana, where she's, like, not, like... She hasn't been brought up in the same setting, I think. But, yeah. But it is very interesting. Did you never think of that with the tree, her being a tree?
No, because when I first watched it, I was just like, what kind of madness is this? Like, I thought the whole thing was weird. I was like, why? What is this? I didn't know what was going on. I thought it was like a dream sequence or something. It's only after I saw that, I think I definitely paused the TV and I Googled it. I was like, when did Charles first meet Diana? We weren't alive when Princess Diana died, and we definitely weren't around when she was alive, right? So all the images that I saw growing up of her with Prince Harry, Prince William, Prince Charles, in my mind, I assumed that she was grown enough, right? So like 30 something. Yeah.
What do you think of her ring, by the way, the ring that she chooses?
Okay, so I can't remember what all the other rings look like in the scene, but I think there was a green one, a red one, and a blue one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was another colour. I feel like there was like a clear one, but I don't think so.
Maybe like a plain diamond one, right? Like a plain, clear. Yeah.
I mean, no, you know what? I think it's a bit strange, isn't it? Because we are of the generation where that ring doesn't mean Princess Diana, that ring means Kate Middleton now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, it's a bit, I mean, apparently she chose the ring because it reminded her of her
her mother's. Mother's ring?
Her mum had an engagement ring that looked like that. And also, the ring historically is linked to the royal family because Prince Albert gave a brooch that looked very similar to it to Queen Victoria. Came back from holiday or something, I don't know. So I don't know. I mean, the ring is nice and it's cute. And in terms of how it looks with her eyes and stuff, it works personally. It wouldn't suit me, I don't think. And it's a lot of jewelry for one hand.
I think, I don't know how I feel about the ring either. I think it's just, it's not something I would pick personally. I think with my skin tone, This is the thing, right? I don't think people realize this, but when you buy engagement ring, you have to think of like skin tone
100%.
And like what matches with this, because I feel like sometimes it's just like things that are designed for white people that wouldn't necessarily work on like people of color. Like it's just not thing. I remember this girl had like a similar like blue diamond ring, and I remember just thinking, oh, it doesn't suit her, like it doesn't go with the whole like what she's about. But yeah, I think the ring is good on her. But I don't like it personally.
I think it's interesting in the crown when we see how the public views the ring on her, and that is when her and Charles do the press announcement. I'm not even, when I tell you, when we'll talk about the clothes in a minute, yeah, well, honestly, when I watched it and then the like reporter was like, oh, are you in love, or how does it feel to be in love, and Charles said, whatever in love means. I said, what? I screamed. I said no, and I paused my TV. I was like, no, I need to Google this. Is this, because I couldn't tell if it was real.
He actually said that in real life.
Yeah, I saw the footage. I was like, no way. Like, I was, you know what? A part of me was in shock because I didn't understand how through the crown is when I first found out that he had said that. I was quite surprised how that wasn't.
I think they kind of like dismissed his behavior a lot. Like, yeah.
Nah,
I think if someone had said that, what, well, I would have gone ballistic for it. Like, I don't know whatever in love means. Why are we doing this if you don't even know what that means? Like,
but you know what, it's interesting because the crown did a really good job throughout the entire season 4, season 1, season 2, season 3, whatever, but with this particular scene it did a really good job in terms of, or I should say, like Josh O'Connor and Emma Corrin did a really good job in terms of mimicking the body language and getting that down. Yeah. For that moment, because that moment was international. Everybody saw it in the four corners of the world. So from the way their voices were, from the way they dismissed, from the way Prince Charles dismissed it, to even when he says what he says, Emma Corrin's face is almost exactly like how Princess Diana's face was.
Yeah.
Sort of like, you know, when you're thinking in your head, but it kind of shows through your facial expression. Like, did you really
hear that? I can't hide that, you know, like when that happens to me, when someone says something, I can't hide how I feel. Like, my face just tells you everything. Even if I'm like, no, it's fine, my face will show you that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, the crown definitely does a good job on that. I think the clothes they wear in that scene is like identical, right? Like it could have just been the same clothes.
It had to be. You can't.
It's such a massive moment. But I think like Diana was I think when you look at the pictures side by side, I think you if you nitpick, you will find one stuff that are like different and stuff, like the watch, the ring, and stuff like that. But it's quite remarkable that they did that. I still hate the hair in this scene. Like, I don't like the clothes. Like, I know they wore this in real life, but if we had to judge the clothes, I hate it. Like, I hate this like pantsuit vibe, like going to the office. That's the vibe it gives me. It gives me like working girl, going to work office vibes.
That's interesting you got that, because I can see that. I didn't get that. I got like air hostess.
Yeah.
If Qatar Airlines decided to go from like their burgundy to like royal blue, that's what I got.
But also I think it's very British, very, very like what you'd expect monarchy to wear kind of clothes. I think it's very different to what she would have wanted to wear.
So I don't know if you know this story, because you might do. But you saying that it's very different to what she wanted to wear is interesting, because Princess Diana originally went shopping, obviously, for an outfit to wear for this big, like, announcement thing.
Yeah.
And she went shopping in a boutique in Knightsbridge, right? So West London, high-end or whatever. And the sales assistant had the audacity to tell her, look, love, you might want to go shop somewhere that's more affordable, more in your price range. So then Diana had to go to... she went to the reports and stuff, say she went to a department store, and they say it as if it was Debenhams. She went to Harrods, but anyways, and she bought this, she bought the outfit off the rack and wore it to address the nation, to say that she was going to be engaged to, you know, the heir to the throne, after a sales assistant said that she's not worthy.
I think because we've seen like Meghan and Harry, and we've seen like Kate and Prince William, This one feels so disconnected. I feel like with theirs, it was like matchy matchy. It was like, even though it's not matchy matchy as in we're wearing like Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake, but it's still like matchy in a sense that complements. With these two, it's just so far from each other. Like, yeah. It's just, yeah, I think they tried to do the whole like common girl aspect of like, this is what a commoner would wear. And it's just like, no, like nobody's going to look like Harrods and buying this off the rack and wearing it. Like,
yeah. The detailing of the outfit from what we saw in The Crown, I'm not sure in real life, was quite interesting because it had like this, the lapel of the blazer was like sort of like wavy and scalloped. I don't know if that makes sense. And nice how it sat on like her chest, and then like the little birds and stuff. I never really noticed it. Like the first time I watched The Crown, I didn't really notice that those were birds. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, okay, like, that's really cute. Yeah. But yeah.
In the photos that they, like, released of this moment, when you compare it, I hate how in The Crown, Emma, her head is tilted this way. It's tilted, like, to the right. Mm-hmm. And then in real life, it's tilted, like, it's just straight or tilted to the left. I don't know, these little things bugs me. I know it's, like, nitpicky, but it just, it bugs me because I'm just like, I know it's like, I know that this is entertainment and it's not real. Like, it's not supposed to be real, but it is real. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these moments happen where, like, it's just these little things where I'm like, oh, this, they could have worked better on that. Like, who let this slip? But yeah, these little things. But I do think their clothes, the hair, like Prince Charles' hair and stuff, it just kind of looks better. The wedding dress, I love, like, I have very precise views on wedding dress in general, but then I think with the royal family, I have a lot of opinions. I think Princess Diana's wedding dress is iconic, right? Like, everybody was waiting for this moment. Everybody knew what it would look like. Mm-hmm. And I don't even get disappointed. I hate how, like, uncle they got, right? Like, how it was just, like, material that they used, they didn't really think about it, but I think the sheer volume of it was amazing. And I love how The Crown redid that, like, they did the whole thing.
I mean, growing up, you see images of like the wedding and stuff, and you know, it's a big thing, it's a big deal, and whatever. And I always grew up not liking the dress because I was just like, well, I mean, it was so poofy and puffy. And we grew up in the early 2000s, and that whole aesthetic is supermodel skinny, everything close to your body, and now it's figure hugging and showing your curves and whatever. So when I was like, when I saw it, I was like, what is this mess kind of thing? It reminded me of meringue pie. I don't know, do you know what I mean?
I think what I like about this dress though is that it stays true to kind of what she's been wearing before, what she is going to wear later on with the collar, like with like the Peter Pan collar that she wears and the poofy sleeves. I think it is very much that era. Like, it is very much in the moment, this was what was in. And we would see like thousands of other women wear later on, like thousands of brides trying to recreate. But I think out of the wedding dresses that we've seen for the royals, this is like probably like my third favorite or something. Like, I don't really love it, but what's it is quite nice. I think I'm tied between Princess Anne's wedding dress. And then she's not my favorite, but I have to say that Princess Beatrice that just got married last year, the repurposing of that queen's dress was like amazing. I love that dress completely. But I think mine is like Princess Anne's dress, and then probably Princess Eugenie. I loved her dress. I didn't like Meghan's dress. I know this is like controversial and stuff, but I just didn't like it. Like, I'm so sorry.
You know what? I'm looking at pictures of Princess Anne's wedding dress right here. And I can see why you like it. It's not an ugly dress at all, but it does remind me. She got married twice though. But if it's the one, if it's the one with the train, is it her first wedding you're talking about, right?
I think so. I think it's the one with the sleeves. You know, the like.
Yeah. I'm looking at that now, And I don't know why, but she looks like, to me, she's giving me Princess Leia from Star Wars, or is it Star Wars?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was like that moment, right, where this was like in trend. But I think I love the, like, I love the sleeves. I think it is such a dramatic, which is what you want to be on your wedding, right? Like, you don't want to, like, be forgotten. I think I love the sleeves. And I love that, like, the sleeves fall down, right? They do these, like, tulip sleeves. But then even the top bit where it's, like, high collar goes down. I just love that dress so much. I think, yeah, I think she's kind of, like, overshadowed, I think, in the, like, when you kind of dress weddings, people think of weddings and stuff. But I do love that dress. I love how, like, she looks so young and, like, so, like, put together and, like, pristine and, like, yeah, I just love that dress. I love, yeah. And then I love Princess Eugenie's dress that she wore. Was it 2 years ago now? I don't know when she got married, but her dress was, like, one of my favourites. Yeah, I love her, the tiara that she got to wear.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that green, the old one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
I think with what Emma Corrin wears in The Crown as Princess Diana for the wedding scene, I don't even know if it was, you can't really call it a scene because it was just her walking away from the camera.
Yeah, I think they didn't show that the whole wedding thing because it was already out. Like, if you want to watch that, you can just go watch it because it was, like, covered. Yeah, I do love that scene. Yeah, I love the voiceover that comes with that scene of, like, this is what fairy tales are made of. Because I think we, as the audience, we already know that this doesn't end well.
That was from the wedding, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was from the wedding itself. Yeah.
Oh, eerie.
Yeah.
No, but I think what I liked about the dress is as well is, so the costume designer for The Crown, who was basically looking over all of Emma Corrin's outfits for her role as Princess Diana, was Amy Roberts. And she actually worked with the original dressmakers of Princess Diana's dress. Well, they're called the Emmanuels. And so they were married before, they're now, like, divorced or separated. And the husband of that duo is is one of the presenters for the UK Say Yes to the Dress, which is on brand. You know what I mean? It's very on brand for what he's supposed to be. So that was quite cool. I really like that not only was The Crown dedicated to accuracy in terms of, like, mimicking what happened in real life, but also getting the originators to help assemble all of that together.
It shows how this basically happened. Also, like, it's not, it didn't happen, like, 2,000 years ago. It happened quite recently. Like, there were people who are still alive who still remember these things and who were part of it. And I think that's the bit where I'm like, I love that so much. I love how, like, they got these, the costume designers that, like, had input on what goes what. I love how The Crown became, like, this thing about the royal family, and then to this, like, fashion moment that, like, happens with Jackie Kennedy and then the rest of them. But yeah, I love Jackie Kennedy's style, which I think is kind of similar to Diana's. I think after Diana gets divorced, which, I mean, we haven't seen on The Crown yet, but I think it is, I think their style, both of them, once Jackie Kennedy loses her husband and Diana divorces Charles, it's quite similar with this. I think we'd always seen them in, like, high event outfits, and then to see them toned down is quite, like, nice. And later on, but yeah,
no,
I think the wedding, I think the wedding just kind of, like, prepares you for what we're gonna see next, like, with Diana.
The whole wedding, like, attire prepares, because I don't know if in the scene we sort of see her getting dressed and getting ready for, like, for the ceremony, right?
Yeah,
right. So when she wears the shoes, notice, yeah, so the shoes are they're kind of beautiful. So they've got, like, they're made out of satin and lace and stuff, and actually the original, like, lace maker for, I think, the shoes and the dress, well, his son worked with the costume designers for The Crown to, like, reproduce all of this again. It's quite cool. But the shoes were, like, these short heels, so think of, like, kitten heels, but, like, less than a kitten, basically. And the reason why the royal family put her in that, like, outfit, because it was the royal family, not, it was, I don't believe Diana saw those shoes and said, I will wear them for my wedding day, is because her and Charles were the same height, because they were both 5'10", and obviously she can't be looking taller than the future king of England, can she? So, like, nah.
I hated the shoes, though. Like, I know you said they were quite pretty, but I just hated them so much. Like, I don't know. Like, I hated them in the show and I hate them in real life because I just think that, like, they're just not the shoes that you'd want to wear to your wedding. Like, they're just not it. Like, yeah, I didn't like it at all. I think they could have done her a little bit more justice than that. I think that's why she wanted her dress to be super puffy at the bottom so nobody would see those horrible shoes.
Right, actually. I think you're right. Towards the end of this season of The Crown, we see her style change in line with how it did in real life, where she sort of got rid of like the thrilly ruffle material and all of that, and she tended to opt for silhouettes that were more streamlined and sleek. And apparently this is because she didn't like how cluttered and messy she looked on camera, which I thought was quite sad because she didn't look that bad. But I guess with everybody giving an opinion on what you look like and how you should look like, you probably buy into that, which is understandable. The last thing we see her in, this is my favourite outfit that we see her in, because prior to knowing what it's supposed to represent, at least the dress that she wore in real life, just an all-time favourite, because I feel like Emma Corrin looks amazing in this dress. The long black dress with like this dramatic tuxedo lapel thing. It's almost like giving cleavage, but it's not, but it's really cool. Yeah. And then she wears it just after Prince Philip threatens her to stay in the marriage and says, what does he say? He says something like, oh, let's just say I don't see things ending well for you. And I'm just like, it's on soap.
A foreshadowment from the stag, right? Like,
yes. Because that was a Christmas thing, right? And she's the only one who looks like she is impacted by any sort of trouble. Prince Charles is there minding his business. Everyone else in the royal family is there minding their business, acting like this is the land of Christmas. Meanwhile, Prince Charles knows that he's doing his wife dirty. Princess Diana...
Everybody knows, though, right? Like, everybody knows what Charles
everybody
is doing.
Everybody knows, Princess Diana now sort of, from having that conversation with Prince Philip, someone who in earlier episodes seemed to be her ally, if that makes sense, somebody who she... rely on and lean on, then realizes actually that nobody in this family actually cares about me. I think if it's not in that same episode or maybe in an episode before, she calls the queen mum, and the queen is just like looking at her like,
this is what I was talking about, where like Diana is obviously a warm person, like she needs affection, she needs this, she basically needs the like, I feel like if this was happening today, Diana would be a pick-me girl. Like, have you seen that scene in Grey's Anatomy where, like, Meredith goes, pick me, love me? Diana is that person. She is the, like, she is the pick-me girl. She needs that, she needs someone to, like, to tell her that she's okay and she is all these things. And I think nobody tells her, like, not even her husband. And I think when she tries to hug the queen, it was like, I remember just going, ew, like, what are you doing? Ew, like, get off. Like, I think that is that, where she's like, she needs the warmth and she needs the love, I think, which is kind of like them trying to deal with what will happen later with her, like, her kids needing that. But I think it is. The dress that you're talking about is amazing. I always just think it looked better in real life, though. Like, the real dress.
Of course. You know what? I'm a bit annoyed that they didn't make it, that they didn't, like, give us a replication of the real thing. But then I understand, because that dress in real life, or at least the dress that's supposed to represent in real life, was such a... It's so cemented in a time when she was not with Charles. Does that make sense? It wouldn't make any sense for them to have that dress. It wouldn't make any sense. If the creators of The Crown, the costume designers of The Crown, decided to bring that dress, like a complete replica of what she wore in real life, into that scene in the last episode, it would mess up our whole time frame of what we believe was happening. Yeah. Does that make sense?
I hope in the next couple of seasons, in the next season, there is a moment where she, like, steps out of the car and she is wearing that it dress where, like, the legs are showing, and she's, like... And I think the actress that they choose with Elizabeth, can't say her second name, she has that. She has the whole, like, sexy look, which is, like... I think, I hate to say this, but after Diana divorces Charles, right, I think this is when we get, like, this sexy Diana, like, the, like, I don't know, the, like, the fashion really begins for her, because it's just her style then, which was, it's like an early version of this dress, where, like, she just looks amazing. The hair, this is the one bit of the show where I'm like, the hair is actually doing something, like,
yeah,
it is
working.
I hate how she looks sad, but it's like understandable why she looks sad. But the dress is just like so nice. I hate how we don't really see her happy until since before Charles. Like, we see her happy when she's like meeting Charles for the first couple of times, but like the child, we don't really get to see when she like first holds William or like any of that. Like, it's just like none of that is really told. But I do love this dress. I love how
I really like the dress, especially because when we think of what the dress sort of mimics, I know what the dress represents is supposed to be like her. This is basically like Diana through her clothing saying like I've had enough, basically. And the fact that the dress is black, there's an air of like maturity about how she's going to approach everything from then on. Mm-hmm. And then also in terms of like what the in the real life version of the dress, I think people say that this is one of Diana's most memorable like looks of all time, and I can actually believe that, because when I think of Princess Diana, this is like one of the images that I can see in my head, because of the dress that she wears. It's like this off the shoulder black dress, and she's arriving, she's come out of a car and she's going to a Vanity Fair party, and she has like this choker, and I think it's got like pearls on the side. I want that, right? I want it. And then she comes
her out. Her legs just look incredible.
Her legs, oh my gosh. And then she comes out, and then people call it the revenge dress, because they weren't expecting her to attend anything, especially that particular party, because that party happened the same evening when Charles's confession about his affair with Camilla was released to the nation. And they thought that she was going to hide away. So that's also, but then the main reason why I think this dress is just like, oh, it's everything, is because Camilla wore the same dress, I think, a few
years.
Like, if you look up, like Camilla, I don't know, Camilla versus Diana or something like that dress, you'll see it. Like, black dress. I'm trying to see. I saw it on Twitter the other day and I was in shock. You see it?
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah? Like, basically like the same ish kind of vibe. Like, Camilla's wearing this sweetheart strapless black dress, like a choker thing, and then like the same kind of choker vibe that Princess Diana has got. It's interesting that Diana's choker matches her wedding ring. I'm not sure if because obviously Camilla and Charles got married like decades after the fact, but I'm not sure if the choker by any coincidence matches the ring that she ended up wearing when she married Charles eventually. Yeah, I just love it because, I mean, in all honesty, who doesn't love a who wore it better kind of thing?
I think it's hard to, one, I can't believe that there was, that these people knew each other, like Camilla and Diana.
Yeah.
I can't really imagine what their conversations, what their, you know, there's that conversation in The Crown where they go out to eat and stuff, and I can't imagine that going on. In real life, because if I was Camilla, I would die inside. I would be like cringe, like I can't deal with this at all. But she kind of deals with it like it's nothing, like whatever, like this is what it is, and I just can't do that. And I think that's what drives Diana as well, to like the end where she's like, I'm not gonna deal with this, like this is not it, like for me. But that dress, I don't think anybody could wear that dress and look like that, and I think it was like tailor-made for her to wear.
I want to know how or if The Crown has impacted your personal style. I wanted to refer to an interview that Helena Bonham Carter did with Variety. Helena also played Princess Margaret, Crown season 3 and 4, I believe. And she basically revealed that despite there being so many rules to being a royal, choosing your own outfits, choosing your own clothes is not one of them. She actually said that people in the royal family don't actually get to wear their own clothes. They usually get dressed by their staff and given outfits to reflect the mood of the event rather than reflecting their own mood. So I was just curious as to, from our discussion about Princess Diana and basically going through her life of, well, I don't know, her years of being 16 to 28 in season 4 of The Crown, if you, in your own like day-to-day life, dress for your mood and for yourself, or dress according to where you're going?
For me, it's definitely both. I think events definitely impacts what I wear. Just being someone who's like Asian, Muslim, there are certain events that I wouldn't wear the same outfit to then I would go into uni or going out with my friends. So I definitely think that events does change my outfit choices. But I think also my mood is definitely an impact on what I wear and how I dress. I think when you get comfortable in like, this is what you want to wear, it's so much better.
That's basically what we see Diana go through in this season of The Crown. And I just think it's really fitting that we see, I guess, we sort of see her go through the journey of finding herself through clothes and through fashion. And that's something that we're basically in the middle of, if that makes sense. And there's still, like, I guess every day our relationship with ourselves is being defined and maybe reworked through the clothes that we want to wear and that we like. And I think more so now than ever before because of social media and all of that. But I just think it's really interesting, the fact that I guess everybody has a little bit of Diana in them.
She was so open with like her relationships with like Charles and her relationship with the Queen. I think as well, like, her relationships with like other fashion designers were like open, like she wasn't like hiding who she was wearing or like anything like that. So I think it made her more common in a sense, like it made her feel like she was one of us, which is so weird because, like we're saying, we didn't live in the same era as her, but she suddenly feels like we could have met her last week and we know her, like, you know everything about her. I think that's the bit that I don't envy, is people knowing everything about you. But I think she's quite relatable.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
I think I posted a lot while I was watching it, just I had so much to say, which, thank you for inviting me to this, because it was lovely to digest everything.
So that's it for another episode of Real Fashion, talking all things Lady Di, Princess Diana, and dressing like royalty. Please make sure to check out Samia's creative space, aka her Instagram page, at SamiaNoraX, where she posts all of her artwork. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Real Fashion Pod. Use the hashtags #RealFashion, #RealFashionPod. Or you can send us an email if you'd like to contribute to any future shows. All links in the description. And lastly, have a great week. Bye!